We have got a great episode for you today on State Your Line. We're going to recap the Chiefs and the Raiders today. We've got some openings and closings around the city to get to as well. We'll get into what we tried this week. We've got a Kansas City in of the week. Hey, look, there's KC and personal pine tars and a mixed plate on the back half of the episode. So great episode coming to you live from the lower level, a.k.a. our parents' basement where I live. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is January 10th, and I love after how much money the AFC West spent this offseason, how much draft capital they spent this offseason, how much of the future they hedged this season to try to beat the Chiefs, knowing they were trading away Tyreek Hill and reloading on draft capital and revamping the secondary to get zero wins against us, to go defeated against us in league play. It's just a chef's kiss, a beautiful thing. It's rebuilding at the same time being the best team in the conference. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the ideal situation, right? Like, you never want to rebuild, but if you're able to rebuild
and win,
that's an ideal situation. Can you imagine how easy Brett Veach's job is? Like, no matter what he does, he has Patrick Mahomes. So, like, Patrick Mahomes can just gloss over everything. And I've got some fun Patrick Mahomes stats that we can get to at the end after we talk a little bit about the Raiders and, like, the season as a whole. And next week, we're going to do some superlatives for this for the season. But, I mean, it has to be so nice being Brett Veach to be like, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's important to rebuild and stuff, but you have Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And you can decide to have a rebuilding year, and at the same time, you have 14 wins for the second time, I think, ever in franchise history, to have 14 wins in a season. And you're the Super Bowl favorites. I think right now we're like plus 350, and the Bills are plus 400 or something along those lines. And then the Eagles are plus 500. So we're the Super Bowl favorites. We have the bye. Mahomes isn't going to play a road playoff game this year again, because he's never done that in his entire career. And this was all at the beginning of the season, a somewhat of a rebuilding year. It's just it's insane that Mahomes affords us that luxury. It's insane that him and Andy Reid, what they've built and the offense that they've built. It's just it's so fun to watch. And the Raiders game was like something that we talked about a lot over the last like 4 or 5 weeks since we got to the easy part of our schedule was like, we want to see us put it all together. We want to see all three phases come together. And the first half of the Raiders game, like that's what it looks like when that happens. And that was a blast seeing all that come together, you know, doing the ring around the rosy, being disrespectful like that. I absolutely love having fun. It's just, it's so great. I love it all.
There was a poll on Twitter that was basically said, was it disrespectful what the Chiefs did? And I voted yes. As a Chiefs fan, I said, yes, that was disrespectful.
I love it.
And I'm glad that we did it.
And I'd do it again.
The Broncos offensive lineman, I can't remember his name, the big Division III kid who's made it.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I don't know his name.
I don't know his name, but
I don't know your name.
He's pissed off about it.
Good.
He's pissed off about it, and now his number one goal is to just try to beat the Chiefs next year.
Well, that should be your goal regardless, because if your goals changed, like, I agree.
But I think that's the biggest goal for Denver. Like,
But if your goals changed because another team played ring around the rosy in the middle of a game, like, how pathetic are you as an organization? Like, oh, now my goals have changed because this team, who is absolutely dominant, played ring around the rosy in the middle of a game. Like, think about your life and where you're at as a franchise if that becomes your goal because another group of 11 men played ring around the rosy and that hurt your feelings so much. I love it. Seeing everything click like that first half again, I'm not really counting the second half because we definitely took our foot off the gas and, you know, Mahomes came out and all that stuff. But that first half, Chris Jones was an absolute monster all game. Mahomes was clicking and dealing. The running game was efficient. Special teams was perfect. Everything mm-hmm. was just like clicking, and that's what we can look like. We haven't looked like that since like the 49ers, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like that was everything clicking. We're going to dominate. And then I was not stressed. I didn't have to really stress out at all on Saturday night, and that was very, very nice. So I just absolutely just perfect week 18. Since we recorded, like after we recorded last week, that was then Monday Night Football happened, and so mm-hmm. it's been a week. I know everyone has talked to exhaustion about, you know, the scenarios and where everything is going to be played, so we don't need to go into that, but it is nice that everyone just ended up winning. The Chiefs won, the Bills won, the Bengals won, and it's just, you know, we can just kind of move forward from all of that and just focus on the playoffs. And I'm stoked. We have a bye week. I think that's massive. We get to another week of tape of these other teams busting out their playoff.
Yeah.
You know, game plans. Everything changes when you get to the playoffs. And teams like the Bills and teams like the Bengals who have been there before, who were planning on being in this situation, like the Bills and the Bengals have been playing this whole season just preparing to get to the playoffs. And so they're going to have a completely different game plan for the playoffs, just like we do. And so we get to see that before they get to see ours. And I just think that's a huge advantage. And then whoever we play, you know, we can talk about more of that next week when it's decided. But man, just a perfect scenario.
We get to sit back and watch a really, really fun wild card weekend
mm-hmm.
and just kind of kick our feet up and say, all right, who's coming to Arrowhead?
I might play who's golf on Sunday. Yeah.
Who's coming to Arrowhead?
Yeah.
Who gets to be lucky enough to come to Arrowhead?
Mm-hmm.
And we just get to kick our feet up and watch it. And we cruised in to this bye week with staying healthy too.
Correct.
Pulling starters when we needed to. Other Correct. Teams in the division weren't smart enough to do that.
Idiots.
But we did
mm-hmm.
and stayed healthy and are starting to peak.
Yeah.
Like everything you wanted to see cleaned up the last few weeks got cleaned up. I wanted to see a perfect day from Butker, Winchester, and Tommy Townsend. We saw
looked
it.
Good.
We saw it. It looked good. Just to get things out of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think a lot of it was mental. And just to have a perfect day, it's like, all right, calm down.
We got a week off.
I don't need to listen to Dustin Colquitt on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to calm down.
He was right.
Although I would still offer him a spot. And 43 is out.
43, poor guy.
I think I saw another player that played.
A new player?
Yeah. And I was like, who is that guy? Get Colquitt on the field. For
yeah,
that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
So I saw there's two options now to get Colquitt mm-hmm. back on just to hold
yeah.
strictly. But yeah, best.
I mean,
case scenario, cruising into a bye week. Andy Reid, more time to think about plays, design more creative things, maybe another ring around the rosy
yeah.
comes out.
Do it again.
Kadarius Toney. Lewis Riddick said on the broadcast that Brett Veach told him there's a chance by the end of the season, Tony's our best wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's peaking at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
He's had time in the offense, and we love designing plays for him.
I know.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And then we get to see him and Mecole Hardman paired up together, too, coming up in the playoffs, which really no one's had to prepare for that.
No.
Yet. No one's
had
to prepare
Andy
for
Reid
that.
Can you imagine Andy Reid just twirling his mustache, thinking yes. of ways to get Mecole and Tony and Sky Moore and Jerick McKinnon and, like, oh, man, it's going to be crazy.
All these guys in space, the formations, the
yeah.
personnel groupings.
We're going to run some weird personnel
groupings. It's going to be incredible.
We're going to have a personnel grouping with, like, Blake Bell and Jody Fortson and Mecole and Tony and McKinnon. And it's yeah. going to be wild.
It's going to get weird.
I can't wait to see those. On Chris Jones, just on Saturday, again, one of those games where, and we had our friend Danny Linder text us that he started doing this. One of those games where you just watch Chris Jones on every yeah. single play because it's so fun. He had 11 pressures. He had 2.5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss, and 4 run stops.
Jared Stidham has got to be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
I mean, even if he played the 49ers last week,
yeah.
but I mean, just what the hell? He's going to
yeah.
have nightmares
yeah.
about Chris Jones. Just like, I mean, they tried to double team him. It didn't work. If they left him one-on-one, he made the guard look very, very stupid.
Oh, gosh.
It was great to see him getting into the peak yeah. form too. And then now everybody gets a rest. Too.
Gets a rest. Yeah. And I think because of Chris Jones, like back-to-back dominant performances, I think he's going to finish third or fourth in Defensive Player of the Year voting.
Which low-key I'm kind of happy about, because then maybe that lessens the price tag on him.
I don't know. I don't want to start thinking. Okay. Let's just focus on the now. We don't have to start. We got in that argument watching the game with friends Saturday, what to do with the Chris Jones this offseason, because we'll probably have to sign him or trade him. And I don't want to think about that right now. So we're not thinking about it.
Let's enjoy the ride.
So some other stats. Obviously, you know, Mahomes finishes the season, going to win the MVP, finishes the season first in EPA per play, first in yards, first in touchdowns, first in QBR, first in 25-plus passing plays, just to name a few. Tom Brady had 85 more pass attempts than Patrick Mahomes, 55 more completions than Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes finished with 556 more yards and 16 more passing TDs than Brady.
Hold on, before you keep going on these stats, I think a lot of times we hear about, you know, comparisons to other sports for mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes. A lot of times we hear, Steph Curry, like people will get crazy and say Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But when you look at the numbers and how he's pulled away, like Steph Curry's, you know, points per game or 3-point shots, like it's not that crazy to the maybe him points on 3-point shots, yeah. on but not on like points per game.
Yeah.
But when you start to look at what Mahomes is doing, it's like Tiger Woods-esque.
Yes.
Of like prime Tiger.
Prime Tiger.
Where he was just playing a different game.
Uh-huh.
And there was...
Lapping the field. Yeah.
And that's what you're starting to see with Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. Especially over like five-year stretches. Like if you look at any five-year-long statistic, Mahomes is lapping the field as far as offensive efficiency and efficiency mm-hmm. as a quarterback. Mahomes finished the regular season with 16 more passing touchdowns on 51 fewer pass attempts than Justin Herbert. So obviously Mahomes, we're in one of those pass-heavy offenses in the NFL, so he can accumulate some of those counting stats. But 16 more passing touchdowns. Daniel Jones, who had a pretty good season,
mm-hmm.
he had 15 touchdown passes all year. Mahomes had 16 more passing TDs and 51 fewer pass attempts than Justin Herbert, who a lot of people really like. And I do, too. I think Herbert's really good. So I think that's just amazing. The Bills, who are our biggest rival and, you know, always one or two in power rankings, the Bills were 3-2 against playoff teams and had a +5 point differential in those five games. The Chiefs were 6-2 against playoff teams and had a +54 point differential in those eight games. So, I think the Bills are very, very good, and I'm not even remotely overlooking them, but I'm just saying what the Chiefs have accomplished this year in a rebuilding year, winning 14 games, having the MVP, it's just amazing. And then on top of all that, Mahomes is the oldest quarterback in the AFC playoffs at the age of 27. So just insane, the young crop of talent coming up in the AFC. One more stat that I really liked, L'Jarius Sneed had a really good year. Mm-hmm. I think we'll sign him this offseason. He finished the season most tackles out of all cornerbacks, most batted passes, second most forced fumbles, most pressures on the QB, and most sacks mm-hmm. among cornerbacks. So good season there. Great season. Insane. Can't wait for the playoffs. This is where our real season starts. As Chiefs fans for the past 5 years, this is now where the real season starts.
Yeah, and it's going to be really, really fun to see what we draw, too.
Like, oh, yeah.
What teams we draw. There's, mm-hmm. you know, we'll play the lowest remaining seed.
So we cannot play the Bills or the Bengals.
So it'll be interesting to see who we get. It could be, either way, it's just going to be really, really fun to see.
Yeah. Play. Love wild cards. I love playoff weekends in the NFL.
And then we've got tickets secured, divisional round.
Be there.
People are asking if it's going to be a keg game.
Oh,
people are asking. Okay. We have not had a keg game.
We have not
all year.
No, I think it'll have to be.
People are asking.
Okay.
If it'll be a keg game.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
All right. Any other Chiefs to go over?
No, that's really all I have. We'll do like more of a season recap next week. As far as Pro Football Focus rankings for some key players, Chris Jones finished the season ranked number one at his position among all D tackles. Mahomes number two by a couple decimal points behind Josh Allen. Travis Kelce number one. Creed Humphrey number one. Joe Tooney number five of all guards. Legarius Sneed number 10. And Tommy Townsend, your boy, number one. PFF grade among all punters.
He hit bombs.
So
I guess holding doesn't factor into that grade. Maybe not. Maybe
just actually
focus
should.
On, should.
I mean, PFF is all about, you know, the film.
The film.
So, yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to ask him. But anyways, you know, incredible season. 14 wins. 14 wins. Don't take it for granted, people. 14 wins.
14 wins. All right. Let's see. We've got some openings around the city to get to. Got a handful of them. Going to be talking barbecue for the first two of these. Arthur Bryant's got some new owners. Are recipes going to be changing?
No.
Flavors going to be changing?
No.
Renovations coming?
No.
Okay. What's going on?
Yeah. Arthur Bryant's has changed owners. So essentially the Rachelbach family has owned the restaurant. So the Rachelbach family bought the restaurant in 1982 from the Bryant family. So the Bryant, can you look up real quick when Arthur Bryant's was founded? Because I don't have those in my notes. But in 1982, the Bryant family, Arthur Bryant's family, sold the restaurant itself to a family called the Rachelbach family. But the Bryant family continued to own.
It says it was established in 1908.
Okay. Yeah, 1908 when Arthur Bryant's established it. So, you know, about 75 years after that, they sold the restaurant to the Rachelbach family. The Bryant family continued to own the building and the trademark. So the Bryant family owned the building and the trademark, and that's how it's operated since 1982. So that's about 40 years it's been operating under that arrangement. The main guy from the Rachelbach family, he's now 60. His kids don't have any interest in taking over. So they were looking to sell the restaurant. And at the same time, the Bryant family, who basically they all live in Dallas right now, they were also looking to kind of get out and move on. So they sold to the president or the guy from Guy's Snacks. So Chris Stewie and Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller is the president of Guy's Snacks and Guy's Deli, and has kind of like brought that brand back to life and
is back
rejuvenated that. That is who now owns the restaurant, the building, and the trademark. So they bought all three. So now all three are under the same ownership for the first time since 1982. It's called MMD Acquisitions is the name of the formal company. But the Bryant family, you know, they were interviewed in this article and they said, you know, we felt it was time to move on and kind of time to let this go. We're glad it's passing to, you know, local Kansas Cityans. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they're not looking to add any more restaurants at this time. I think they're looking to kind of add a little more catering, add a little more carry out, modernize the operations of the restaurant a little bit. But again, not change a thing about the restaurant or how it operates or the recipes or anything like that. So, yeah, that's Arthur Bryant's. I mean, a Kansas City icon, obviously, one of the most famous brands in Kansas City, changing ownership. So, I mean, I think this is a good thing, right? I think fresh blood getting in there.
Local ownership.
I think Andrew Miller obviously has a passion for food and for Kansas City. Like, if you have been following Guy's over the last year and a half, 2 years, he's brought a ton of energy into that. So I'm excited for this as long as nothing changes with the recipes or, you know, the people cooking the food.
Yeah, if anything did change, I wouldn't know because I've never had Arthur Bryant's.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a big flaw of mine. Almost 4 years of this podcast.
Major flaw.
Still have not gotten Arthur Bryant's.
So,
hand up. Yeah, I admit it.
That's it.
All right. Also in barbecue news, we've got a new barbecue joint, or I guess more relocating than a new barbecue joint, Wolfpack Barbecue. Owner Jared Wolf, which kudos to him. Like, my last name's Wolf. I got to use that in the
just
name
go
of my barbecue
it.
Joint.
Yeah.
So Wolfpack Barbecue. Remember the Wolfpack?
Yeah. Ooh. Kevin Nash.
Yeah, dude. Kevin Nash, first guy to ever beat Goldberg in a wrestling match.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a Kevin Nash action figure.
Oh, I remember it.
Badass.
I remember it.
Dude, it was badass. All right, so Wolfpack Barbecue.
Was that the one where the head flipped?
Mm-hmm.
Did the head flip? Like the remember the Power Rangers toys where the action
like
toys
out of
where
his
the
chest?
Yeah, the head flipped out of the chest.
I don't remember. But his arms moved and legs moved for sure. It was a good action figure.
Oh yeah, I think this is it. I think it was just a lot of head moving mm-hmm. and arms moving and stuff like that. Yeah.
But Wolfpack Barbecue was up north of the river. On Burlington Avenue in North Kansas City.
It was inside Call Sign Brewing Company. And we talked about this in a closing. We talked about Wolfpack Barbecue closing because they were leaving Call Sign Barbecue, and Call Sign was doing their own food menu in their own kitchen going forward. So it was kind of a bummer. But then I think it was basically 3 weeks after that, Jared Wolf found this spot in the Northeast in Columbus Park and is opening a standalone barbecue place. I haven't heard anything about Wolf.
I haven't
Wolfpack.
Either. Wolfpack.
I mean, if they don't have any references to, you know, late 90s
wrestling,
WWE wrestling, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I think the logo is red and black, so that's a good start for sure. But yeah, this is on 5th Street. So 5th Street has in Columbus Park has had a lot of new businesses open there. That's where Cafe is, mm-hmm. the Vietnamese cafe. Coffee spot. Lily Floral Designs and then Swoon, which is a bakery, have all opened in the last year or so right there on 5th Street. So Wolfpack going in, they're going to have a bar. They're going to have this massive smoker outside. They're going to have a trailer serving food starting in January, and then they're hoping the inside and the actual restaurant with, you know, full bar, tables, regular service, they're hoping that opens middle of March. They want to try to get it open before Big 12 tournament and the draft and all of that stuff that's coming to Kansas City this spring. So yeah, I mean, more barbecue the better, so I'm excited about this. They said their goal is to,
and for that area of town too.
Yeah,
I don't know if they have another barbecue joint, but
I don't think
now
so.
It does.
Yeah. And they said they're not going to serve any leftovers. So this made me think, because he said it specifically and like they have a plan for their leftovers, that he said like they're going to put brisket in like dumplings and different things like that. They're going to take the leftovers and turn them into like more like appetizers, not just like, you know, serve it.
Yeah.
It made me think, like, the fact that he said that, I wonder how many barbecue places do serve leftovers.
Probably. That would make sense.
Because barbecue heats up pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. I do, and I like leftover barbecue. I have no problem with it at home. You know, if I'm going out to a restaurant and someone told me this is leftover, obviously I'd be disappointed. But it made me think that if he's saying it specifically and he's talking about these plans that he has on what he's going to do with the leftovers, it makes me think other barbecue restaurants probably serve leftovers.
Meat's expensive.
That's true.
Just throw it out.
Brisket is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I love, with barbecue leftovers, getting creative with it. So if he is doing that, like, I love putting barbecue leftovers in a quesadilla or on a bed of rice with a different sauce. So excited to see if that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Dumplings sounds like a good route.
Yeah,
he
says he wants, you know,
just put it in some bread, fry it, bake it, add cheese.
Well, what about a barbecue calzone or something?
Yeah,
like that.
A barbecue hot pocket.
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty good. So
barbecue pizza.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brisket Rangoon, cold smoked lobster bisque. I don't know what that has to do with barbecue, but that's what he said.
It's smoked.
But that's not leftover.
Let's go to Union on the Hill, also opening up. This is Midtown, right on off Gillum.
Yeah, right in that like weird triangle where that filling station coffee exists, like on 30th and Gillum,
mm-hmm.
by the new apartments.
Yeah.
That are right there. And then there's that filling station like in that triangle area, that intersection. So right there, it used to be Cafe Europa.
Okay.
For a little bit.
Is it going to be a food truck or?
No, it's a nice, like, finer dining, supposed to be a really good restaurant. So George at Sagan, why is everyone's name so damn hard to pronounce? George Atsangbi. George Atsangbi classically trained chef, went to culinary arts schools, and then has worked at different restaurant groups. So he worked for Bread and Butter Concepts here in Kansas City for a while. He's finally opening, and then he opened his food truck called Happy Belly Food Truck, which I've actually tried and is really good. So you might have seen the Happy Belly Food Truck driving around because it has a pretty distinct logo. It's like this big chubby dude with a hairy belly, with his belly showing, and he's like just rubbing his belly. That's Happy Belly Food Truck. So he owns that.
I know where this is going. Yeah, I've been to a restaurant in there before, and I think really what just needs to happen is there needs to be like another apartment complex or something right there at that Martini Corner.
Yeah,
Union
there needs,
Hill.
Needs to be instructions on where we're all supposed to park too.
Yeah,
like I don't. That's I think what keeps people from going.
Jesse used to live in that building.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this spot wouldn't be more. It's, you can walk to it. It's just like the east side of Gillum, like the east side of the street, and in Martini Corner too, still has like a couple abandoned like warehouses and stuff that need to get converted into something. And then again, Martini Corner, that area is going to take off, I think.
Yeah.
Because so, the apartments are super nice.
Yeah. So it's going to be like American and seafood. And it looked like, you know, again, on the finer side, I think this is this guy kind of flexing his more classically trained experience. And so like entrees are like $30 to $40 for entrees. And but they're going to have brisket burgers, mahi-mahi sandwiches, hanger steak, filet, lobster rolls, artichoke carbonara, hot mama chicken sandwich with garlic aioli and butter hot sauce, some flatbreads, wings with a spicy garlic aioli. So kind of a little bit of a combo there, but it looks good. I think it looks good. It is opened. It opened the week before Christmas.
Ooh, all right.
So we're a little behind on it, but
that's
it is
all right. Open. Also opening up is Boho Brewing. Boho Brewing's up in Parkville?
Parkville.
Okay.
That's
all I know about it.
Czech Bohemian style beer. So Boho.
What's Bohemian style beer?
I think it's like, you know, German, like Czech Republic, okay. German style beer. The founders, their family is from the Czech Republic, came over in like the late 1800s. They able to trace their family back to like early 1800s in the Czech Republic. This opened a week ago. Rob Mann with two N's and two B's. He opened this. He used to work. He was the head brewer at Sandhills Brewing in Mission.
It's Mission. It's right on Johnson
Shawnee,
Drive.
Yeah, one of those two. So Mission. Rob Mann is leaving Sandhills to start this in downtown Parkville. Again, Czech Bohemian style beers, and yeah, it looks good.
So I saw on Instagram someone asked if they had food. He said they had pretzels. And you can bring in food from other stores, too. There's a Mexican restaurant right next door that is going to be opening soon. And also in the comment from Boho Brewing says Char Bar is going to be opening up in Parkville.
Wow.
And a pizza restaurant to the south of it.
Wow.
So it sounds like you can go up there, bring pizza in, bring Mexican food in, barbecue in.
I like that.
So good spot
to
check out.
Three major food groups.
That's where I need to go, Parkville. Little staycation.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Spend a day, be a tourist in your own city.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also opening this week, you didn't have this, missed it, KC Restaurant Week.
Oh, nice.
It's KC Restaurant Week this week.
Starting on Friday.
Yes, starting on Friday, KCRestaurantWeek.com. They've got tons and tons of restaurants participating. I mean, if it's not a record number, it seems like it because of how many choices there are.
Yeah.
And what do you like to do? Do you like to go for the fancy place to try to maybe get a good deal on something? Or do you go see where you can eat the most food?
No, I go for places I haven't been before.
Yeah.
So I always try to go to a new place. So I already have our spot picked out on, I can't remember, on Friday or Saturday. I think Saturday we're going to Lula, the Southern Cookhouse in the Crossroads in the old Nara. So, really stoked about that because I haven't been. It looked like the menu was looking good. So I usually just use the app and the website to find places that I haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
And then
maybe find a neighborhood you want to go to and then
kind of scroll through the neighborhoods. And that's essentially how I search. And so we chose Lula.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing Blue Highway. I've been happy hours there. I've never eaten there. They've got a dinner. It's a 4-course dinner for $60.
Nice.
Looks really, really good. So that's something I'm considering. Haven't pulled the trigger on a reservation yet.
I don't
but
think
I better.
Have, some. I mean, soon. Lula doesn't even have their menu up yet.
Some did not. Yeah. Yet, but a lot of them do.
I'm excited.
All right. Also closing. Again, the classic cookie.
Classic cookie.
It's down.
Dead.
Okay.
Maybe not dead. They're trying to sell it, but Classic Cookie closed permanently by the new current owners. So Classic Cookie.
Who opened it back up?
What?
Who opened it back up?
Brian Sparks and Haley Allen. Okay. Reopened it back up. They're a married couple. They took over in late 2021. So the original owners had it until 2020, basically. And in 2020, pandemic, and you know, I think the original owner was just like looking to retire anyways, they closed and some neighbors bought it. If you remember, we talked about all of this on the podcast, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is right in my neighborhood. So some people who were regulars at the Classic Cookie decided to buy it. They only held on to it for like 6 to 8 months or something like that. And then they sold it. They closed and then sold it to Brian Sparks and Haley Allen. They took over in late 2021. They spent 6 weeks renovating it, making it a little bit more of a modern breakfast spot as opposed to like a cafe with a pastry counter, you know, full breakfast menu, all of that kind of stuff. They're, again, they've worked in restaurants their entire life. They're more classically trained chefs. And so they took over in late 2021. They had it. Things were seemed to be going well. In September of 2022, they added a dinner menu to it. They added like their dinner restaurant concept called Wild Rose. That seemed to be going well. I just read a review about it in Kansas City Magazine and they had a good review. And then it just closed at the beginning of the year. So they said they kept it open as long as they could. But waterline issues on Gregory, basically big
took
trucks,
away the parking.
Big trucks, which we enjoyed looking at those big trucks, but big trucks like sat in the parking in front of it. Yeah, so it was just it was a mess. They just couldn't stay open, I guess. So they're looking to sell it. And Classic Cookie. I mean, it was open nonstop for 40 years, and then now all of a sudden it can't stay open.
Yeah, sad to see.
People trying to keep it open, though. People are trying.
I think I could see with that location and the size of it. I mean, yeah. A little diner just makes sense. Or
I know.
A little bakery, yeah. Or coffee shop. So I hope to see someone make good use of that space.
Or Little Caesars.
Little. Wow. Now we're talking.
I want a Little
Dude,
Caesars
should we,
in French, Waldo.
Should we go?
Maybe I want a Little Caesars in Waldo. Yeah.
We should call Matt Stafford.
There used to be a Little Caesars in that one strip with Cirilla's and like Midwest Vacuum, mm-hmm. And like that strip that I think there's nothing in it
there's
anymore.
There's a Pride Cleaners with a
a market.
Produce stand.
Yeah. Produce. Yeah. Right in that strip. There used to be a Little Caesars. I want that Little Caesars back
who,
because
who,
Domino's is
ready.
Trash. I'm never going to Domino's. Domino's is horrible. I'm not eating you Domino's. Put a Little Caesars in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not calling for a Little Caesars in the Classic Cookie space. Just put a Little Caesars in the Midwest Vacuum place.
No, let's go for the Classic Cookie space. Me and you, we open a franchise, print money.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into a little what we tried this week.
Reading about like franchises that make the most money.
Little Caesars?
No, one of them is like a UPS store, which is a franchise. And it reminded me of like Ben from Parks and Rec.
He wants to sell a chemical.
Yeah, chemical and be the middleman for dry cleaners and whatnot. And
yeah.
Tom is just like, no, I need something sexy. And it's just like, well, yeah, I mean, you could open a UPS store and make a lot of money in the first year.
Not as sexy as a Little Caesars.
Not nearly as sexy as a Little Caesars.
All right. This week, I tried Golf X out in Leawood.
Nice.
It's a chain, a franchise. I've seen them around. Like, I saw one in St. Louis. I think there's two in Kansas City. I think there's one up north of the river.
Is the Golf X, is it in the Landing in St. Louis?
It was not. No, it was off Manchester.
Oh, of course.
That really narrows it down.
Yeah.
Manchester
is the 119th or 135th.
If there are any St. Louis listeners, I'm very pro Manchester.
You like Manchester?
I love driving Manchester.
Okay.
I love driving. I'd rather do it than try to get to the highway or something like that. Like, I'm just taking Manchester.
Manchester is
It'll take you to where you need to go.
Manchester.
I think it's Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's Shawnee Mission Parkway.
That's a good one.
And I love Manchester.
Okay.
But I tried Golf X this week.
Is it? Are you sure it's not X Golf?
Is it X Golf?
I think it's X Golf.
Okay, I tried X Golf. Mm-hmm. X Golf this week, and it's basically, I think there was about 8 to 10 golf simulator bays, and then a bar in the middle, and you rent it out by the hour. It's $55 an hour. So mm-hmm. There was three of us, and we played about 13 or 14 holes of Pebble Beach in 2 hours.
Okay.
So I mean,
Pebble.
Yeah,
casual.
Casual.
Yeah.
So price-wise, it's comparable. If you wanted to play a full 18, it's probably comparable to a green fee. You'd probably pay $55 mm-hmm. for playing 18 holes and then maybe have a little time left over.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a ton of fun. There's a bartender and wait staff that will bring buckets of beer. They had six beers in their buckets.
Whoa,
too.
I like that.
Made it nice. Made it really nice.
Better than the typical five.
Yes.
Typically, it's
exactly.
five beers
so,
per bucket.
They got buckets of beer that they'll bring over. They got draft beer. They've got some small food to eat as well. And
it's like
yeah.
in the main town center shop.
In the main, it's by the GNC. There's like a Soul Cycle or something over there too. Maybe the Kansas Sampler or Rally House is right there. I think so. Easy to get to. Reservations do book up. I think they have leagues on weeknights too, which would be nice in the winter.
Yeah,
but the simulator's sweet. They have The ball basically comes out of the ground, rolls onto the tee, and then comes out of the ground, and it'll remember how high you like your tee.
Mm.
So each time you step up for a drive, it's
exactly,
already teed up. You don't even have to bend
exactly
over to
height.
Get the ball.
Yeah.
You don't even have to bend over to get the ball. You do putt, which is challenging. But
putting's hard.
You get the hang of it by the end. Putting in short game is hard, but you get the hang of it.
Do you bring your own clubs, or are you a tool if you bring
your
own clubs?
No, you can bring your own clubs.
Okay.
That would be
preferred.
Because
like Topgolf, you're kind of a tool if you bring your own clubs.
Yeah, that's not the scenario here. I didn't see any rental clubs. I'm sure there are.
Okay.
But we recommend bringing your own clubs. Each bay has like a couch to sit on,
okay.
lots of TVs. We were there during the Chiefs game. They turned the sound on to the Chiefs game.
Oh, sweet.
While we were there, too. So, great
spot. What
kind
of food did they have?
Pretzels. Nachos, chicken fingers, kind of some
they've got a
bar
league,
bites.
They've got lessons.
Yeah.
They
give you swing speed, or they give you ball speed, spin, rotation, all sorts of stats too. So
nice.
It's a good spot.
Sweet. This week, I tried Third Street Social for dinner.
Okay.
So I've only ever been there for lunch. I got the Nashville hot chicken wings.
Spicy?
Wrecked me.
Yeah.
Couldn't even finish them.
Those are spicy.
So I got the wings, and so did the other guy. So I'll set this up. We went there for New Year's Eve. We didn't have anything to do for New Year's Eve. Or we had plans for New Year's Eve with a group of friends. Everyone canceled, so just us and another couple. We were like, well, damn, like we're not just going to go over to like your house and do a party with just like the four of us. That's lame. But like, let's go out to dinner. But we wanted to watch the college football playoff games. But it was
wanted it to be nice enough.
We wanted it to be nice enough, so it's like a fun night out. Third Street Social was the perfect because sit in the bar at Third Street Social. There's plenty of TVs, but the sound's not on. But the food is really good. The service is really good. The drinks are really good, cocktail wise. So it was a great middle ground for like if you're looking to do somewhere where you can
have a nice date night
meal, have an official date night, but have some TVs on. It's a great alternative to like, I don't know, a sports bar, Charlie Hooper's or Brookside, which is like the other places we were thinking about going. So we were there with another couple. Both of us dudes got the Nashville hot chicken wings. He finished his. I couldn't finish mine.
Got alpha.
I felt like a big old wimp. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty embarrassing. It was the server was chirping me the entire time.
As he should.
But these weren't like Kansas City Nashville hot. They were Nashville hot. They mm-hmm. were very hot.
I got the Nashville chicken sandwich last time I went.
At
Third Street Social.
Oh.
I finished it.
Oh, damn it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know.
It's spicy.
The bones.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Got in the way.
I mean, more surface area on your wings than on my
That's true.
Sandwich, so.
That's true. Thank you.
I'll give you that.
But anyways, really, really good. We also had some appetizers as well. So yeah, it was good. Great. Again, great. Third Street is that perfect like little. It's not as crazy loud as Red Door can get because Red Door is kind of that like in between as well, in between sports bar and you know, I guess nicer restaurant. But it was great. It was
good.
Good spot.
Yeah. All right.
But I got alpha'd. I got alpha'd hard on the wings.
Let's move to the Kansas Cityan of the week this week. We've got Zuri the Rhino.
Kansas Cityan of the week.
Kansas Cityan of the week. Zuri was born on...
No, Zuri's the mom, dude. That's why she's the Kansas Cityan.
Okay, I thought you were giving it to the baby.
No, I'm giving it to the
mom.
I
was going to say, what did the baby even do to earn this?
Nothing. Just okay, popped good. Out.
I'm glad you're giving it to the mom.
I don't even think the baby Rhino has a name yet.
Wow, we don't have a contest for that yet?
Yeah, we got to get a contest.
We got to get a contest going.
But yeah,
Rhino McRhino face.
The Kansas City of the week goes to Zuri the Rhino, who resides at the Kansas City Zoo. She is a... I didn't even write down. What's Zuri's breed?
Black African Rhino.
Black African Rhino. One of 740...
Eastern Black Rhinoceros.
One of 740 left in the world. So... critically endangered species. She had a baby. Rhinos, they're pregnant for like 15 to 17 months.
Wow, that's a long gestation.
Long time coming. A New Year's Eve baby. So congrats to Zuri on the New Year's Eve baby. Born December 31st. Only 740 left in the world. So this is a big deal. And we need more of these babies.
New Year's Day, the least popular birthday.
I knew that.
In the year.
I know.
But yeah, so will this baby stay at the zoo?
I don't know.
What's their plan? I wonder.
Well, so
they try to repopulate.
Essentially, they haven't done anything with the baby yet because there needs to be a bonding time between the mother and the child. Mm-hmm. So like they haven't run any tests on the baby. Like no human has interacted with the baby yet.
Gotta let it
because
bond.
they gotta let a natural bond happen. And it is interesting too because they have to let the rhino, like, even though Zuri has, you know, spent most of her life in a you know, human controlled environment, it still will like go away to give birth. And like the zookeepers like can't go near it. Like they have to really let it happen naturally. So Zuri the Rhino, Kansas City of the week.
I've only seen one rhino birth in my life. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Who could forget?
Just peak comedy.
All time.
That scene. It's an all time scene.
All time scene.
All time. Maybe that's why now we know, you know, in Ace Ventura, the person given the safari is like, this is very rare to see this.
He did say that.
We confirmed it.
Yeah.
We confirmed it.
Yeah.
All right. We got a Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Hey, look, there's KC. Prairie Village, number one searched city on Zillow.
Zillow,
baby.
That's what the stats are saying.
This is the real deal. I'm a Redfin guy myself, but.
Yeah. So how's that going for you, Redfin?
I think it's pretty accurate. I haven't found a house yet. So,
yeah.
You know.
Normally, these lists that we do for "Hey, look, there's KC," they're just like we've talked about it many times. They're
an
just
algorithm.
Like, they're just it's an algorithm. It's a fake website that like doesn't exist, but then it goes viral because it's like Kansas City eats more candy corn than the entire country of Russia, or some BS. Number one candy bar in Missouri is Good Bars or something just to get clicks. This is Zillow, baby. So this is legit. Normally reserved for Palo Alto and Tahoe and West Coast cities, the Zillow Award for most viewed city in the country was Prairie Village for 2022.
Perfect village.
Last year's Zillow said last year's list was dominated by cities about an hour away from major metros. So like last year, during COVID 2021, people were looking at property, in more rural areas, an hour outside. This year, it came back to more in the metro. So they did say Prairie Village just minutes from downtown Kansas City.
Minutes.
I mean, technically.
Everything's minutes.
Yeah. But this is based on Zillow page view traffic, available housing inventory, the amount of sales that happen, the price appreciation in that city, and then other housing barometers that help indicate consumer demand, which I assume Zillow is pretty good at understanding consumer demand, considering that's the only thing they exist for. Prairie Village, number one. So, not surprised, honestly, yeah. But... a little bit surprised that there's not more Prairie Villages around
in bigger cities with more population.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Austin, Texas doesn't have a Prairie Village or...
Well, that just grew too fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like number two was like this small coastal town just outside of Boston, like a Prairie Village, but on the coast outside of the Boston major metro.
That sounds nice.
Another one like on the beach outside of, Virginia, DC, Maryland area. But PV right in the middle, number one.
All right.
Not surprised. If you grew up in Prairie Village and your parents still have their house, you're sitting on a gold mine. You're just sitting on a gold mine.
Sell it to me. Sell it to me. Give it to me.
For pennies on the dollar.
Give it to me. You're not sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah.
Give
yeah.
it to me.
Yeah.
Give it to me. All right, let's move on to our personal pine tar for the week. This week, I made my first bet of the NFL season since week one. I think when I bet $50 and won 25 cents on the Chiefs scoring 1 point. So I tried it again.
Yeah.
Because I had some fun where on New Year's Eve, me and my brother-in-laws, we did a parlay where we each picked one leg.
Okay.
So then the buddies I was going golfing with, we each picked one leg of the parlay.
Oh, okay.
They lived in Missouri.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, send me, pick a prop, player prop.
I like parlay that. Them. That is fun. We should do that. We should do it right now. Let's text Trent.
Yeah, we'll each pick one and go from there. I had Jerick McKinnon anytime touchdown score hit.
Duh.
Duh.
That was probably a lock. Minus money, though.
No, that was plus money.
Wow.
It was a lock. We had Mac Hollins under 19 and a half yards.
Love that.
That was gutsy. That hit. Then we had Travis Kelce, 7 catches.
Mm.
Finished with 6.
Damn it.
Finished with 6.
Did he have a drop in there, too?
He had one drop.
Damn it.
Well, Mahomes kind of threw it behind him,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It was kind of a drop,
uh-huh.
And that missed the parlay. So
you're back off betting now?
I'm back off.
Okay.
I only deposited the exact amount I needed to make the bet. So
smart.
I'm back out.
Yeah, smart.
So even though if I was betting, I would only make bets that I know are going to win.
Exactly.
Who From here on out.
From here on
that's
out.
That's what I'll do.
Only make bets that you know are
going to
win.
Not these silly parlays.
I think that's a smart way to bet.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
I don't know. Call me crazy, but I think that's the right way to do it.
That'll be the way to do it.
All right. My personal pine tar, pretty simple here. You know, keeping New Year's resolutions is
You're
hard.
You lose? Yeah.
No, I haven't lost
okay,
yet.
Okay.
But I didn't want to. I wanted to break it real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't yet, but it's hard. And
do you
want to
talk about what it is?
Well, it's just not snoozing my alarm,
oh.
Not checking social media until lunch.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
So not snoozing my alarm, not checking social media till lunch. It's really hard. And in the middle of the day, on a Monday, especially not snoozing your alarm, it was heroic work by me this morning to not snooze. Like I was super. So that's the thing. Like I feel good in the moment, though. I'm like, oh, God, please just snooze. It would be like I have an excuse. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
I can easily snooze, but I didn't. And then not checking social media, or really basically my phone until lunch. So those are them. It's hard.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's tough. But then
there's a rewarding factor.
There's a reward there.
And I'm always just like, how long am I going to keep it up?
There's a reward there. I'm still keeping up, finishing every shower with a minute of cold.
Oh, gross.
It's tough.
Why?
Tough. Why? Dude. You never looked into the health benefits of this?
Are you in?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
All right.
I'm into it.
All right.
I'm into it.
Why don't you go take outdoor baths?
That's next. That's next. Once I get a house,
get the tin.
Not the tin. There's a barrel.
Yeah.
Just dip in the barrel.
Okay.
Just dip in the barrel.
All right.
Get ready. Yeah, I will. When I'm so healthy
because
of my cold therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Let's go into our mixed plate. You're talking spicy. Nashville
spicy.
Hot chicken.
Couldn't finish
Very
it.
Very spicy.
Got
so
Alfred.
We got our mixed plate of spicy dishes in Kansas City.
That's right.
Is what we've got for this week. So episode 190. That means I get to go first.
Okay.
Spicy dishes. Enough to make your nose water.
Yep.
Enough to, make you have to grab a glass of water, a beer, some milk.
Yeah, hopefully not water.
To cool off. The peanut wings.
There you go.
Perfect spice.
That was my meat number one.
Gonna make your nose run, your forehead sweat a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's delicious. It's worth it. So the peanut wings.
Yep.
Meat number one.
All right. My meat number one. I've talked about this many times, but one of my favorite things about the peanut wings is there's no options.
That's it.
There's no sauce levels, there's no garlic lemon, there's no honey barbecue. It's just this level. There's no controlling the spice level. Just this is what you get.
That's it.
My meat number one here. Going my favorite Thai dish at my top three favorite Thai restaurants the Thai fried rice at Lemongrass. Thai fried rice at, or is it called the basil fried rice? Basil fried rice.
Yeah.
Get it medium plus.
I didn't know you could adjust spice levels.
Oh, yeah. Any Thai restaurant.
Jessie's been lying to me.
What?
She just, we get a mild.
Mild. Yeah, she's lying. Medium plus from Thai fried or lemongrass, the basil fried rice with pork.
I can't even get mild plus.
It's so good. It's one of my favorite dishes. So I mean, number one,
one of my favorite things
nose,
to do
gets the nose running
when Jessie's out of town is order Thai food without her because I can get spicy.
Spice it up. You guys don't get your own dishes?
It's so much food.
I mean, yeah, but there's
so
leftovers.
Yeah, it's
Thai
so
food
much food.
Is great leftover.
Thai food is good cold.
Yeah,
you ever
true.
Had pad Thai cold?
Yeah,
it's good.
I'm kind of out on pad Thai though. I rarely get pad Thai anymore.
It's a staple.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
Good. Yeah. All right, let's see. My meat number two here, I'm going to go with the jalapeno fried chicken at Red Door.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night special only. I think you can
No, that's not true.
Not anymore?
No, you can get it any night.
Oh, what? Well,
maybe
the sandwich
it's on
you
special.
Can.
Oh,
the
yeah,
sandwich
the sandwich
you can. But there is
You're talking about
fried
the fried chicken.
The fried chicken.
Sorry.
Jalapeno fried chicken. But there is the daily fried jalapeno
the
fried
sandwich.
Chicken sandwich, which hits very, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
But the jalapeno fried chicken, great spice to it. Only on Thursday nights. Get the fried Brussels sprouts with it. Nice combo.
Oh.
Really good.
Yeah.
So that's my meat number two.
Okay. I'm also going chicken with my meat number two. I'm going the Nashville hot chicken sandwich from Summit Grill. I had this over the weekend. Paid for it the next day, but one of those moments where I know I'm going
back
to pay
to back
for it.
Nashville?
No, one weekend apart. Yeah.
Didn't learn your lesson.
Didn't learn my lesson. But Nashville hot chicken sandwich from Summit, it's so delicious. You have to battle through it because it's a big sandwich too.
Yeah.
But with the fries are so good there too that they kind of help. And then, you know, I was drinking a beer with it, which helps. But it's one of those sandwiches that you have to battle through. It's not like a guarantee that you're just going to be able to easily work through it. So, and you'll pay for it the next day. But
yeah.
Always, it's one of my favorite sandwiches in the city. I think we did a mixed plate of sandwiches once.
That was on it.
It was on it. So I love that, Sandy.
All right. My side number one here, I'm going to go with the fajita tacos at Manny's.
Damn it, that was on
They got the Diablo salsa. Don't be scared.
No.
Be a little scared.
Be scared, but give it a try.
Give it a try. Be a little scared, but it's going to enhance the flavor of it so much. It's this dark red salsa. It's super, super spicy, but it's worth it. It's delicious. Give yourself a little sprinkle on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust yourself.
Yeah, just enough, though, because
it's good.
It's got great flavor. It's got like the smoky flavor, but it's also super spicy. Also, the tacos without the salsa, they're spicy as well.
Yeah, they add the pico in it.
Because they got the pico in there. So,
but add the Diablo sauce.
Yeah,
it's really good. Or just whatever you get at Manny's, get a little Diablo sauce.
Ask for Diablo sauce on the side next time you're at Manny's. It's a dark red or purple sauce. It is delicious.
Smoky, spicy, really good.
All right, side number one for me. The Chef Pam at Waldo Thai. So it's not like listed on their menu, but if you ask the server about the Chef Pam, they will give it to you. Again, I think Waldo Thai, it's up there with, it's a little on the nicer side. So it's not like your everyday Thai food that your go-to Thai. That's more lemongrass for me, but Waldo Thai is so freaking delicious. I love Waldo Thai, and the Chef Pam is their spiciest dish there. It'll knock you on your socks a little bit, but the servers do a really good job of warning you. Like, you can't just order the Chef Pam and not get a little bit of a warning. But it is it's very delicious off menu item at Waldo Thai.
All right,
named after the head chef Pam. There, obviously.
I'm gonna go with my side number two. I'm gonna call it. I'm realizing I'm very chicken heavy, but. Why don't we make other things spicy? I feel like chicken's the most common thing we make spicy.
Yeah. I mean,
why isn't there spicy beef?
Crispy
maybe,
beef.
Maybe there's some of that, but I'm going with Gus's fried chicken.
Yeah.
It only comes one way and it comes spicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's as far as just being the original or like the only option you have, it's the spiciest fried chicken that I've had without having to ask for
yes.
something spicy.
Yeah.
So it comes spicy. It's really good. Again, enough just to make your nose run, mm-hmm. make your mouth drool, make
it's
you sweat
also,
a little
you
bit.
It's also, you have to give it time to cool off.
Oh, it's coming
it comes
out, hot.
Out of the fryer, like, and it's still sizzling, and you're so hungry, and you just want to bite
and
into it.
It smells so good.
But not only is it spicy, the temperature is so hot. You just have to give it
piping hot.
Time to cool off. But yeah, it's very
so good. Because of that, it does travel decently well.
Yes.
It does travel. Pick by the time it gets to your doorstep, it'll
shout
be good.
Out. But you'll smell it the whole way in the mm-hmm. car. Oh my gosh. All right, side number two for me to round things out. I'm going Korma Sutra, the butter chicken. Korma Sutra Indian place on 87th and like Antioch area. I'm partial to butter chicken over tiki masala.
I like both.
I've expressed that. But at Korma Sutra, you can order, again, like most Thai places, you can tell them the spiciness on what you want your dish to be. Again, I freaking love butter chicken. And then Indian food, you always have the naan to kind of help you out as well, or some white rice or something along those lines. So there's always like a carb there to cool off from. At Gus's, do you get like a biscuit or anything? Or they have like big steak fries, don't they?
Yeah, they have a lot of sides. They have really good mac and cheese too, which the
too
dairy
creamy.
Might help.
Yeah, mm-hmm. wreck my stomach even more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Korma Sutra, the butter chicken there. Talk to the staff about how spicy they recommend it, and work your way through it that way.
All right. Other ones I didn't have. I've tried the death nectar at Grinders. Have you ever tried it?
I've tried the sauce.
I've had it on a toothpick.
Yeah.
And like they dab in it. Mm-hmm. And good fantasy football punishment though.
Yeah.
Death nectar. Okay. Make the loser eat some wings.
Yeah.
What else did I
have? I kind of been sold on the bowling alley fantasy football.
That's a good one too.
It's a good one.
I also had the five alarm beef wrap at Longboards.
Longboards, baby.
Longboards. It's just, and you can get that sauce, the five alarm sauce, on anything. So
that
I like it on
steak
the
in it. You can get steak.
Yeah,
in that
that's
one.
On the steak. It's I've had the sauce in the Cabo chicken too.
Mm-hmm.
Add some heat to it. It's really good. I think that's it.
Mother Clucker has a really good chicken sandwich.
They do have a spicy one.
The nachos at the Grand Falloon. The fresh jalapenos.
Fresh
raw jalapenos. So you can kind of really decide when you want the spice and when you don't. But those fresh jalapenos, they don't take a single seed out of them. They just cut the jalapenos, mm-hmm. put them on there. And then, yeah, those were all mine as well.
Okay.
Oh, the wings at 3rd Street.
Yeah, those are
very spicy.
All right, that'll do it for us this week. Next week, Tuesday works for you? Next week?
Yeah.
Next week will be
a day late.
I'm traveling to St. Louis, so we'll be a day late, but we'll be out by next Wednesday.
Yes.
So thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on social media. We'll see you around Kansas City.